Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we have all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you, including Mark Dunley of WOOC, our partner station, was at the state capitol in Albany yesterday and heard from 38 climate groups launching the Climate Can't Wait campaign to try to get state officials to do something to reverse the climate change that's going on. He heard from Yvette Alfonso of Citizen Action, Atiqua Khan of the New York Communities for Change, Anthony Rogers Wright of New York Lawyers for the Public Interest, Mert Simpson of SHARE, Miriam Elgeberg of New York Youth Climate Leaders, and Rebecca Orison of the DSA on public powers. Plus, we'll also hear from Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees about what movies are playing where locally, the national headlines from the Public News Service, and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Michelle Bocanegra and Shannon Young report for Politico that a New York Supreme Court judge reinstated, at least temporarily, New York's mask mandate January 25th, a day after a Nassau County Supreme Court judge said it was unconstitutional. The state mask mandate for indoor public settings expires February 1st, while the school mask mandate lasts through February 21st. Quote, I commend the Attorney General for her defense of the health and safety of New Yorkers and applaud the Appellate Division, Second Department, for siding with common sense and granting an interim stay to keep the state's important masking regulations in place, unquote, Hochul said in a statement. Quote, we will not stop fighting to protect New Yorkers and are confident we will continue to prevail, unquote. Nassau County State Supreme Court Judge Thomas Rademacher ruled on January 24th that the governor and Department of Health cannot impose a mask mandate. Only the legislature can. Associate Justice Robert J. Miller let the mandate stay on January 25th, but ordered the state to show cause by January 28th. Read more about this story at Politico.
The number of COVID-19 cases remains relatively high in the Hudson Valley, but the numbers have fallen from the heights of recent weeks. In Columbia County, for instance, there were only 70 cases announced on January 24th. Greene County only had 19 new COVID-19 cases announced on January 23rd. Ulster County officials reported 4 more deaths from coronavirus on January 24th. But county officials also reported a steady decline in the number of active COVID-19 cases. On January 20th, Ulster County had 7,150 cases. By January 23rd, there were 6,777 cases there. Numbers are also trending down in Albany County, where there were 307 new positive coronavirus cases announced January 25th. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "I'm happy there are no new COVID-19 deaths to report today, and while average daily infections continue to come down in Albany County, the number of residents in ICUs with the virus has shot up to 16 from 9 in just the last 24 hours," end quote.
Joshua Solomon is reporting for the Times Union that the state of New York is soon expected to launch an Office of Gun Violence Prevention, according to Governor Kathy Hochul's office. The governor's budget includes $500,000 for the initiative. Data collected on gun violence would be used by the office to, quote, track emerging gun violence hotspots and deploy resources to those areas that need it most, unquote, according to the governor's budget book. The details are expected to take further shape at a meeting of the state's first ever interstate task force on illegal guns on January 26th in East Greenbush. The task force, led by state police officials, is intended to help slow the spread of illegal guns into New York communities. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is expected to be in attendance. An illegal gun from Baltimore is believed to have been used by a 47-year-old Manhattan man to shoot two New York Police Department officers. Both the officers and their assailants died. The state has also spent at least $144 million of the $159 million dedicated to the gun violence state of emergency. The remaining money has been promised to organizations and remains to be spent. The emergency was first declared by then-Governor Andrew Cuomo in July, as the state was seeing an increase in violent crimes, especially those involving firearms. Following the shooting of the New York Police Department officers, Hochul released a statement that she had extended the state of emergency on gun violence, has offered a vision for the state's plans on gun violence moving forward, and offered her condolences. The governor also said the new task force would be convened in less than a week after the tragedy to discuss the pipeline of illegal guns and how neighboring states can work with each other. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Rebecca F. Ward reports for the Times Union that on January 24th, New York's Office of Cannabis Management introduced a new medical cannabis certification system allowing any doctor to prescribe medical marijuana to any patient for any reason. New York lawmakers already made cannabis use legal last year. But except for a limited medical cannabis program, cannabis won't be for sale in the state until sometime next year while regulations are set. But now physicians and other certified healthcare providers can prescribe cannabis for conditions such as anxiety and insomnia. State Senator Diane Savino said, and I quote, "A lot of doctors and other providers who I've spoken to over the years have said, I have patients who I think it would help, but they're not eligible. That's a conversation that should happen between a patient and their provider, not a patient, their provider, the State Department of Health, and Senator Savino," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Columbia Green Media reports that Amtrak announced January 24th that it is temporarily suspending various services as COVID-19 grows amongst its workforce. Quote, "The cuts are due to staffing challenges brought on by the pandemic," unquote, Amtrak media relations spokesperson Kimberly Wood said. Quote, "While nearly 97% of Amtrak employees are fully vaccinated, several hundred of our onboard service personnel, conductors, engineers, and mechanical crews continue to be impacted by COVID infections or exposures, particularly given the highly infectious nature of the new variant and the prevalence of breakthrough cases," unquote, she said. Some Empire Service and Lakeshore Limited trains will no longer be running, according to a statement released by the railroad. Trains 234 and 256 from Albany-Rensselaer and trains 241 and 261 from New York City are suspended on the Empire Service line. Trains 49, 449, 48, and 448 of the Lakeshore Limited are being suspended on Tuesday and Wednesday. Amtrak is suspending 8% of its train departures over the next 10 weeks. They are also working to fill vacant positions and train new employees to avoid staffing shortfalls that are a result of unplanned absences, Wood said. She said as overall staffing and equipment availability levels improve, Amtrak will restore service levels as quickly as possible. Right now, Amtrak is planning to resume the suspended services by late March and early April. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ted Remsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Green County legislator Michael Bulick has proposed a measure that would allow county lawmakers to carry firearms at public meetings. The Catskill Republican made the proposal in a discussion held at a meeting of the legislative committees on January 18th. The conversation focused on a resolution stating that only members of the New York State Police, Greene County Sheriff's Office, or any village or town police department in the county be allowed to carry firearms, concealed or otherwise, into county property. In that discussion, Bulick argued that an exception should be made for elected officials. He said, and I quote, "I think there should be an amendment to this resolution that allows elected officials who are licensed to carry to do so if they so choose in this building. We do come here after hours. I am duly trained and I'm pretty confident in myself to protect myself," end quote. Bulick said later that he wants the right to defend himself if an incident occurs in a legislature meeting. He said, and I quote, "It's important that I am able to defend myself, not just having security at the front desk. I am a law-abiding citizen with a pistol permit. I am very comfortable with a pistol, and I should be afforded the right to be able to protect myself," end quote. Bulick said he was uncomfortable sitting with his back to the door during meetings held after 4:30 p.m. when sheriff's deputies were no longer stationed in the building. During the meeting, Coxsackie Republican Charles Martinez seconded Bulick's motion, before Greene County Attorney Edward Kaplan suggested that if an amendment was made, the legislature define which elected officials would be permitted to carry firearms. Kaplan suggested the amendment be limited to members of the legislature, with Cairo Democrat Harry Lennon adding that it should only be applied to current members of the body. When asked, Kaplan agreed to investigate whether the proposed policy would create problems with the county's insurance coverage. The legislature eventually approved the original resolution unanimously. Bulick said in lieu of amending the newly approved resolution that the right of a legislator to bear arms on county property could be added to their job description. The lawmakers are exploring that option. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Emily Crane reports in the New York Post that the SAT exam is moving online and will now be shorter, the College Board revealed on January 25th. The upcoming changes will be rolled out in the U.S. in 2024. The changes are expected to help keep the test relevant as more colleges make standardized tests optional for admission. Students taking the exam will be allowed to use their own laptops or tablets, but will still have to sit for the exam at a monitored testing site or school, the College Board said. The new online version will also reduce the exam time by 1 hour, making the reading, writing, and math assessment roughly 2 hours instead of three. The test will also feature shorter reading passages with one question tied to each, and calculators will be permitted for the full duration of the math section. Also, test takers will be sent their scores within days instead of weeks, administrators said. Quote, "The digital SAT will be easier to take, easier to give, and more relevant," unquote, said Priscilla Rodriguez, vice president of college readiness assessments at the College Board. Quote, "We're not simply putting the current SAT on a digital platform. We're taking full advantage of what delivering an assessment digitally makes possible," unquote. Read more about this story in the New York Post.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days.
Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 18 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around minus 2 degrees. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 25 degrees. And Thursday night, a slight chance of snow showers after 1 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 12 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in on Wednesday, January 26th, to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Synth Eclectico Show, with tracks today from Al Hopp, Bit Graves, Bernice, and others. Then Maria Manhattan has the Hudson Cafe at 11 a.m., and we go to Catskill at noon after the local news for the Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours from Spike Priggen's Main Street store on Catskill, Spike's Record Rack. And he'll have 2 hours of rock, soul, and more, followed by Rock and Roll Radio at 2 with the Sun City Girls, Ja Wobble, Robin Hitchcock, and others. At 7 p.m., the Off the Hook Show beams in from WBAI, a simulcast from the New York City station, with the Off the Hook Show from the 2600 Hacker Crew. And then at 8 p.m., tune in Music for the Masses with Disco Around the World from Neva Wartell. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Columbia County with Clara Pohl and the Mystery Machine with Disco, Funk, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC. Thursday, January 27th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., Cheryl Kay talks with Joe Bebko, the associate editor of the Syncopated Times, a Utica-based jazz publication, and also talks with guitarist, composer, and educator Samuel Moshing on Situation Fluxus at 10 a.m. on the radio at WGXC. At noon, Brad Monkel from Greenville talks to singer-songwriter Liam Davis on his Ear Candy show until 2 p.m., when it's time for Borders and Boundaries on What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the show that sets the week's news to brand new music. Then at 3 p.m., turn on the news to hear the latest about what voting machines are being locked up. At 7 p.m., Christopher Funkhauser speaks with local poet George Quasha on Poet Radio. At 9, Pirate Radio from Andrew O'Connor live from Toronto on the Disco 3000 show. And then Ted Barron has the Boogie Woogie Flu at 10 p.m. live from the WGXC Hudson studio on the radio at 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, January 26th. The coldest temperature this morning is 1 degree in Courtright Center. Warmest is 13 degrees in Kingston. Morning snow reports show 1 inch in Cairo and 1 in Woodstock. A sub-freezing morning means coats, hats, and gloves, even though the wind isn't really that bad out there. This afternoon, we'll see a high of 24 degrees at 2 p.m. Overnight, gotta let those taps drip because a low of negative 1 is expected. A high of 28 degrees is expected in the afternoon. 21 degrees overnight takes us into a snowy Friday. So far, depending on the storm track, we're looking at a half inch of light snow through the day with a possibility for mixed precipitation. A high of 32 degrees is expected at 2 p.m. Overnight, we're looking at an inch or so of snow and a temperature drop to 12 degrees. Saturday, another 3 inches is expected to fall through the day, and a high of only 20 degrees will be seen in the afternoon. Sunday is looking dry with a high of 25 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:46 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:10 a.m. Looking way up, we see a solar flare yesterday caused a radio blackout over the South Pacific. The sunspot that generated it is turning more directly toward Earth. Radio and GPS issues could occur today. Solar wind speed is currently 426 kilometers per second at 8.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently just terrible, at least until dark, and then it's okay below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 53. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Devon of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Kissing man like a long walk home when the music stops. Take a tip from me, took it to the park. When you're on your own, it's a long walk home. Well, if they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movies. On your own, if they follow you, it's not your money that they're after, boy, it's you. Pure, easy listening, settle down on the pillow soft. When they've all gone home, you can concentrate on the one you love. You can concentrate, hey, now they're gone. But if they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movie. On your own, if they follow you, it's not your money that they're after, boy, it's you. We all went back to another time. I will love you over. I will love you over. I will love you. If they follow you, don't look back like Dylan in the movies. On your own,
listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Amanda.
It is
cold out there. It's the winter time and I've been indoors for a long, long time. And I have that crazy cabin fever psychosis. So apologies if I say anything weird. Let me tell you what's in the theaters. I'm going to start from the top of the mountain and go down. I'm going to tell you good folks out there what's playing in the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Spider-Man No Way Home, Sing 2, and the new Scream reboot. And you can check out show times and address and all that at WyndhamTheater.com. That's W-I-N-D-H-A-M theater.com.
I'm going to tell you about The Crandall, which is in Chatham. So The Crandall has a large variety of things playing on all kinds of days, and you're going to have to look at their website to find out exactly when those times are. But let me just give you a broad overview. We have Come On, Come On. We have Belfast. We have The Velvet Queen. We have Attica, Writing with Fire, Parallel Mothers, The Tragedy of Macbeth, and a special screening of Goodfellas on Saturday, February 5th, which is very funny. I love it.
Oh, nice.
And like, it looks like they also have a special screening actually of Happy Feet on Saturday, February 12th. It's very cute. I like when they do just like one day and they're like, we're just going to play this movie. I don't know who decided, but I'm happy that they do that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's cute. I love how much movie theater rerunning Happy Feet gets. I feel like I've known many theaters to replay Happy Feet.
That's wild. I did not know that. But yeah. I love it. That's, I guess, great.
The kids love it.
I guess I did see Happy Feet in theaters when it came out for some reason. So it's like,
yeah,
it's,
I did
part
too.
Of the experience.
Probably because I'm from a small town and I didn't do anything else but like hang out in parking lots and go to the movie theater.
Exactly.
All right, folks, I'm going to tell you what is playing at Upstate Films. That's both locations, the one in Saugerties, New York, and the one in Rhinebeck, New York. So starting in Saugerties at the Orpheum Theater, we have Parallel Mothers, Spider-Man No Way Home, Belle and Licorice Pizza. And then at the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck, we have Flea, Parallel Mothers, Out of the Blue, The Velvet Queen, and Licorice Pizza. And you can go to upstatefilms.org to check out the dates and times of all those movies that are playing throughout the week.
And I'm going to tell you about TSL in Hudson, our own little baby local theater. They have The Velvet Queen, Drive My Car, The Danish Collector, Benedetta is still hanging in there with a couple showings, and something called Introduction, which don't know what that is, so give it a look. But those are at TSL, and that's timeandspace.org.
Nice. We're going to stick around in Hudson because I'm going to tell you folks about what is at Spotlight Cinemas, otherwise known as the 8 Screen Cinema on Fairview Avenue in Hudson, New York. We have The King's Daughter, Scream, American Underdog, The King's Man, West Side Story, Sing 2, The Matrix Resurrections, and Spider-Man No Way Home. And you can go to spotlightcinemas.com to check out dates and times for those movies.
From their 2022 album Silver Sky, this is the song Galaxy from Black Lake from Copake. That's Slink Moss and Susan Jennings.
Communicating, liberating, in the sky and in the mind, come on from illusion to the water and the ice. Galaxy, 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 galaxy. Sky in the mind,
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
38 climate groups have come together to promote 12 critical climate measures for New York lawmakers to act on. In the second part of our coverage of the kickoff press conference at the state capitol on January 25th, we hear from three speakers, starting with Mert Simpson, an Albany County legislator who is co-chair of SHARE, and then high school student Miriam Ellenberg of New York Youth Climate Leaders. And we end up with Rebecca Orison of DSA on Public Power.
Along with Ruth Foster, I am co-chair of the Sheridan Hollow Alliance for Renewable Energy. In 2021, there were three 100-year climate events in 5 weeks. August 18th, Tropical Storm Fred caused flooding across New York City and spawned tornadoes. August 22nd, Hurricane Henri passes just east of Montauk Point as a tropical storm, but pummels Long Island and New York City with heavy rain. September 1st, the remnants of Hurricane Ida reached the New York City metropolitan area, with heavy rainfall and flooding. A tornado watch was issued for the area. The storm forced most of the subway system to shut down, with many flooded stations. For the first time in history, New York City was put under a flood watch. This is personal for me since I was once president of the Merton D. Simpson Gallery, Inc., Tribal and Martin Arts, on 38 West 28th Street. It was horrific to see the subway on 28th Street and 6th Avenue completely submerged underwater. The package of bills we are advancing are an important step in the effort to leave posterity a viable planet. Sadly, at the current rate of addressing climate change, the best we can leave our grandchildren is a dystopian future mirroring The Walking Dead, with inadequate air, water, and limited arable land. Transforming our capital to a renewable capital is an important symbolic step towards building a just and renewable future. On behalf of SHARE, I'd just like to thank Senator Neil Breslin, Assemblyman John McDonnell, for sponsoring the Renewable Capital Act. We would also like to thank Assemblywoman Pat Fahey for her support in advancing the process. If you look to my left, you see the 98-acre Empire State Plaza. What we're asking for in this act is to have Albany, the capital of New York State, one of the most significant states in our country, to be a model for sustainable energy. We've been advocating for the 98-acre Empire State Plaza, which the Sheridan Avenue facility, which is close to my residence, has been used with frack gas coming from Pennsylvania to fuel many of the downstate buildings, including the education building, the Capitol, and the plaza. We think that the reason why we haven't got more traction, despite all the platitudes of Governor Cuomo, is that if we did the right thing here in Albany, it makes it difficult to do the wrong thing in the balance of state. What we're saying is, we know that there's technology that's not being used. I have testified last year in both the CLCPA and CCIA hearings, and I was the only one who brought up geothermal energy. There's ignorance about the state-of-the-art technology that's available. A lot of our leaders are in the pockets of the fossil fuel industry. So despite the platitudes, we have to move forward. Right now, again, my fear is that we're so far from doing what's technically feasible that all of our efforts are going to be in vain. I know in my lifetime, we're not going to see the kind of change that we need. But unless we set the infrastructure now for the positive trajectory, our children are just not going to have a viable planet. We have a responsibility to leave a planet at least as good as the one that we inherited. And right now, we're so far behind the ball that it's not even a crime, it's a sin. When Alaska has a 70-degree temperature and the polar ice cap is melting, we're already past the tipping point. And so I urge people, for the good of the planet, to do what's right and to redouble our efforts, because we don't have time.
I'm Miriam Ellenberg. I'm representing the End Fossil Fuel Subsidies Coalition and the Divest New York Coalition,
as co-director of government affairs for the New York Youth Climate, a mouthful. I will not be as eloquent as people who have spoken before me. I am very angry about this topic, and it will come through as I speak here today. I would rather be in school right now, but I am here to demand climate action. There are two bills of the 12 in the package that I would like to go over. The Fossil Fuel Subsidy Elimination Act, which will eliminate $336 million for the most egregious subsidies that New York gives to the fossil fuel industry, as well as preventing them from participating in economic startup growth. This will disincentivize fossil fuel use in New York without harming low-income families dependent on fossil fuels for heating. The second bill is the Teachers' Fossil Fuel Divestment, which will divest the New York State Teachers' Retirement System of its approximately $4.6 billion invested in the fossil fuel industry. Financial uncertainty and climate change have been constants in my life. So far, there have been financial crashes and recessions, once-in-a-lifetime storms and wildfires almost every year, and the Earth's temperature has risen by over 1 degree Celsius. Despite this, institutions like our government and my teacher's pension fund continue to support and invest in the fossil fuel industry. How can our legislators be so negligent of their responsibility to constituents by taking no action on this since 2019? According to a report from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, climate disasters cost $145 billion in the U.S. in 2021 alone. Our legislators are giving money to the fossil fuel industry and then have to turn around and pay for the climate crises they have caused. It's almost laughable, the situation we've wound up in, because of the state's attachment to fossil fuels. It's past time to acknowledge that the fossil fuel industry is most culpable for climate change and treat them as such. The New York State Common Retirement Fund, as well as New York City, and 1,100 other institutions worldwide are divesting or have divested. It's time for the state government to take action. I'm 17 years old. I'm a senior in high school. I've spent the last few years preparing for my future, trying to take as many advanced classes as possible to be as prepared as possible. While I've been doing that, two things have happened. One, I have known the entire time that my life won't have the same opportunities as those before me because of the climate. And second, during that time in high school, the legislature has patted itself on the back for passing the climate leadership and community protection. But not enough has changed since then to improve our state, but I see it as an effective one. So look at me and the youth in your district as legislators and do something to make us have a future.
Rebecca Orison. I'm one of the co-chairs of Albany DSA, a branch of the Capital District DSA chapter. And right now I'm a PhD student at SUNY Albany, and I'm studying climate science and paleoclimate. Like Miriam, I'd rather be doing my work and doing my research right now, but it's really important to be here and speaking for the climate. So our organization, Capital District DSA, is affiliated with the Energy Democracy Alliance as part of the Public Power New York Coalition. And we're here today to talk about, to speak for the climate and speak for public power. We need action now. Every action that we take matters. Every year matters. Every degree of warming matters. The climate is in a crisis. I'm out of patience with lobbyists and with politicians that we meet with who speak out of both sides of their mouth and say that, yes, I understand the climate crisis, and yes, they know we need to act, and then hedge and haw about practicalities of implementation and implementation timelines. We need radical action now that sets a new course, a new timeline for the climate, because the climate is setting its own timeline for us, and we are out of time. Our coalition's fighting for public power. We believe that energy and power are human rights and should be democratically controlled. Our energy systems need to serve the public interest and not be controlled by the corporate bottom line. We need renewable energy that centers on the most vulnerable populations, disadvantaged communities that have been harmed by fossil fuel companies and by our carbon economies, and are most vulnerable to climate change. We need policies that support those who are most impacted. That means the building trades and those who have built our society and will build our green energy future. These are tenets of energy democracy that are central to the New York Build Public Renewables Act, which is a central part of the Climate Can't Wait package and is supported by 68% of New Yorkers. The BPRA centralizes the New York Power Authority as the lead agency for the expansion of publicly owned and democratically controlled renewable energy in New York State. The New York Power Authority's mission in part is to prioritize customers and provide customers with low-cost, clean, reliable power. Is currently limited in the number of projects that they can own. We need to remove that limit, use the New York Power Authority as it was intended when it was created by FDR in the 1930s. This bill is revenue neutral and would add no cost to New York State, but is estimated to have the capacity to add $90 billion to New York's economy. The build-out of the New York Power Authority would add over 50,000 high-road jobs to New York State, which would be jobs under project labor agreements and through labor harmony agreements. We need a renewable energy economy that's built by and for New Yorkers, not petroleum companies like Equinor and BP that have profited by the development of the climate crisis and led us into the climate crisis and are now part of the greenwashing of these companies profiting even now in our renewable energy future. When we say the climate can't wait, we mean the people can't wait. Our transition can't wait. We need the leaders that are going to be putting themselves on the line, making radical change that we need by passing these bills.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. 38 climate groups have come together to promote 12 critical climate measures for New York lawmakers to act on. At a kickoff press conference at the state capitol, we hear in part one from three speakers, starting with Yvette Alfonso of Citizen Action.
We're a collaborative from all around the state. We have people from Long Island to Buffalo and everywhere in between. In addition to this press conference rally today, there are rallies going on in Manhattan and other parts of the state. We represent thousands of people who really are concerned about the climate and really want action by our legislature, by our governor. Because, right, the climate can't wait. The climate can't wait. So besides this, we're going to be hitting the phones. We're going to be doing the lobby visits. We're going to do everything possible to really make an impact because we are at a, everybody talks about a tipping point. We're actually beyond that. From Hurricane Ida to Tropical Storm Matthias to Superstorm Sandy, all have cost the federal government over $25 billion. The climate crisis is particularly devastating to black and brown communities because we are always in the eye of the storm, so to speak, because our communities tend to be in the areas where the fossil fuel plants are, where the bomb trains like down on Pearl Street are, where all the polluting industries are located. Now, Governor Hochul and the other legislative leaders, say they're concerned about the climate, but frankly, it's a lot of rhetoric. And we are tired of rhetoric, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I want to know. So we need the legislature to mandate the changes to deal with our climate crisis. So far, we're concerned, very concerned about the little bit that the legislature has done. The proposals in the governor's state of the state and the budget released last week are simply not up to the challenges we face. And we're frankly tired of excuses, including it's not clear as to what actions have to take and the state's Climate Action Council has to weigh in before legislation is passed. We have developed a list of 12 strong proposals that our speakers I'll be calling up are going to go over. We really need to make sure that the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, or the CLCPA, is actually implemented and that everything that needs to get done to make that a reality has to get passed this year in 2022. The collaborative representatives here are here in Albany to speak today, and we are unified because these are things that we definitely agree upon. We agree that we need to strongly implement CLCPA, our state's 2019 landmark climate law, through strong action by state agencies and billions in funding. We agree that communities of color and poor communities need to be fully consulted when it comes to the design of climate policies and that they should receive targeted funding to relieve their communities and give them access to quality, clean energy jobs. We agree?
We agree.
We agree that our public and private buildings, including the state capitol and all these buildings, should be heated, cooled, and powered by wind and solar and other renewables, and to get away from the fossil fuels that are killing our environment. And we agree that government on all levels should stop funding climate destruction through tax subsidies and investing of public pension funds.
Yeah.
All right. We agree we shouldn't continue to build fossil fuel facilities that contribute to climate change and instead convert existing buildings to renewables.
Yes. Yes.
We agree.
We agree that state agencies like the New York Power Authority should take the lead in building the renewable energy economy of the future. So now I'm going to call up our first speaker, Atika Khan from New York Communities for Change.
Hi, everyone. I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. My name is Akia Khan, and I'm here with New York Communities for Change. NYCC is a nonprofit organization dedicated to representing low-income neighborhoods and communities of color. Today, we're here because we are in full support of this agenda, because truly, climate can't wait. Governor Kathy Hochul and the New York State Legislature have a moral and practical responsibility to make sure they fully embrace this urgent and bold agenda. Every single initiative on this agenda is important, but today I'm here to focus on the need to raise revenues to fund climate action and a Green New Deal. Right now, New York is failing to reduce climate pollution throughout the state. They are failing to create good union jobs to fight the climate crisis, and they're failing to remedy inequality. The only things governors like Cuomo and Hochul are really good at are hyping up the agendas they set. But they don't fund them or set enforceable requirements to actually achieve them. The only major climate action in that budget is a gas ban, but even then, the timeline to achieve those goals are set to happen too slow. We need money for upgrading and building fossil-free housing. There's an eviction crisis happening right now. We need a modern grid built on 100% renewable energy. But after all the years of the governor's big talk, New York State is only at 6% wind and solar energy. To act at the scale of this crisis, Governor Hochul should tax the rich for a Green New Deal. We have to understand that the climate can't wait. There is no do-over. It's time for Governor Hochul, as well as the legislature, to walk that big talk and pass the climate can't wait agenda. Because climate can't wait.
Climate can't wait.
My name is Anthony Rogers Wright. I want to acknowledge that we are standing on stolen and occupied Mohican land, and I want to pay homage to all people indigenous to Turtle Island and assert that Black and Indigenous liberation is inextricably tied together. My name is Anthony Karifa Rogers Wright. I currently serve as the Director of Environmental Justice with New York Lawyers for the Public Interest, a 45-year-old civil rights organization fighting for a more equitable and just New York. I also have the honor of serving on the steering committee of the mighty New York Renews Coalition, the premier climate justice coalition in the state, made up of 300 plus environmental justice, labor, green, and legal organizations, and the coalition that delivered the most aggressive piece of climate legislation in this nation of stolen lands, the landmark and epochal Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act.
My friends, white supremacy, colonization, and genocide form the foundation of the racialized and gendered climate crisis we find ourselves in, that disproportionately impacts indigenous, Black, brown, and poor folk who are too often dehumanized and watch as their communities are rendered into energy and economic psychophast zones. Ergo, the foundation of any climate package that intends to confront and dismantle this crisis must be rooted in the tenets, principles, and inexorable demands of environmental justice. The Climate Can't Wait package includes critical pieces of environmental and climate legislation that must be expeditiously ratified if New York is to maintain its status as the national leader on climate. As I just named, too often, Black, brown, indigenous, and poor communities are treated as sacrifice zones and colonies where residents are choked out by toxic emissions, choked out by toxic cops, and choked out by toxic policies due to a toxic polity that asserts white NIMBYism at the expense of the self-determination for environmental justice communities. Later for that. We demand that the state legislator and Governor Hochul pass and ratify the Cumulative Impacts Act, which establishes the necessary interdiction to prevent the exacerbation of disproportionate and inequitable impacts on environmental justice communities. Simply put, if a project is too toxic for Chappaqua, Scarsdale, and the Hamptons, then it is too toxic for the Boogie Down, Sunset Park, Brooklyn, and the remaining non-gentrified parts of Harlem and Barrio East Harlem.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, It seems these days everybody is hopping on the CLCPA bandwagon. And why not? New York is driving the discussion on what comprehensive climate policy can look like, and everyone wants to get on board, and everybody wants to take a bite. But here's the thing. While the CLCPA is varsity-level policy, it cannot be implemented with junior varsity investments. We fought for a $15 minimum wage, and we won. Now we're fighting for $15 billion to ensure our statewide climate policy does not become an unfunded mandate.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
But I